The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer, as we get together every weekday at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events, and also we hear in church on Sunday. If you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN. We'll do our very best to get to the question today. And joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker daily here in the morning times, Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there and the great questions they bring to us each and every day, I'm sure. I don't have the opportunity to be on every day with you, but when I am on with you, it's a thrill. It's an excitement. It's fun to hear people wanting to learn and to grow in God's word and be blessed by the Lord. And, Psalm 1 is one of my favorite psalms. You know, meditate in the word of God day and night, and you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit daily. And that's what our Christian life is all about, in God's word, knowing Jesus, and letting him use our lives. So great to be with you, Mike. Looking forward to the program.
Yeah, good. Look forward to answering some questions. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. It is live. You can call right now. Again, 8888-ASK-CSN. And again, it's important that we have a good foundation for our faith. You know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I believe that the reason why you'll find two groups of Christians, actually, those that are really kind of unopinionated with a lot of things, and those that are very opinionated concerning political matters, things like this. And I believe it's thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I believe in when we study God's word, that fortifies what God and how God will judge the earth and the world someday. And I really believe that this is why we as Christians should have dynamic opinions on certain things. What's right, what's wrong. It's not shades of gray. It's not relativism. As we've had the last couple of days, we've had callers asking about relativism and, you know, true is true if it's true to you. Well, no, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So when we look at that verse, Jesus categorically said all the other religions of the world are bogus. That's John 14:6. He said, no one comes to the Father but by me. So it's not being a good person. It's not being a real religious person. We even remember Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3 and said, what must I do? And Jesus said, you marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. Now, this guy was one of the high-ranking religious leaders, and he had missed it. And Jesus addresses that whole issue concerning him. So religion will not save you. People oftentimes will ask, well, what's the right religion? Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He simply came to reveal to us the Father's love, to reconcile us back to the Father, what was lost in the garden, and that we recognize him as our Savior. You know, Daryl, so many things are so important in this world, and I think oftentimes people major on the minor and minor on the major. Your thoughts?
Well, exactly, Mike. You know, I think back when I first got saved, and one, I thought I was a Christian because I lived in America, and then I discovered I was a sinner. The other thing I discovered was I was afraid of God because I didn't want to be a hypocrite if I got saved and actually live the Christian life that I saw Christians living. And I realized afterwards, after I became born again, that the Holy Spirit gives you this desire to live for God, this desire to know Jesus, that overwhelming habitual sinful practices that we were involved in as a party animal, as I was at USC and University of Southern California and being a fraternity frat rat kind of guy, it just dissipated. It wasn't that important any longer, because the Holy Spirit says he's going to change you from the inside out. And that's what God does. And in case you're listening today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, take it from one who knows. I know what it is to be on the other side of the tracks, if you will, and then to come into the kingdom of God and Christ being your Lord and your Savior, coming in your heart and changing your way of speaking, your way of living, your way of thinking. He opens up a whole new world to you, because in reality, we were blinded. We're all blinded by sin and by this world and by the culture of sin. And then all of a sudden the light comes in and the darkness dissipates and you find a brand new life. And it's a glorious life. Oh, it's not easy. There's no doubt, Mike, you and I both know this. But what happens is you have courage, you have strength, you have peace, you have joy, you have love that you've never had before. And it's not going to be filled with all the other things of this world that we used to try to fill it with, booze, drugs, immorality, and so forth. It's filled with one person, and you hit the nail on the head. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. It's his way of living that brings us peace. It's his truth that hauls away all the deceptions in life and gives us a direction for life and an understanding of life itself. And then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's his life now in us. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us, as Paul wrote for us to understand. His power, his love, his grace, his mercies, they're truly new every morning, and we rejoice in it. So it's great to be a Christian. It's great to have the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. It's also great to know that no matter what happens in this life, we'll be in heaven forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, you know, not a legal relationship with God, but a father-child relationship with God.
Amen.
So much different than what religion offers a human being versus what Jesus Christ offers. Remember, Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He simply came to reconcile us to our Father in heaven. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father, which art in heaven. You know, a person that's a rule keeper does not approach a father that way. You already recognize God's great love for us. And it isn't by rules and regulations, things of the law, but it's what Jesus Christ has done for us. Well, let's go ahead and go to the phones. We have Esteli in Fort Bragg, California. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Mike. I'm sorry about my voice. I've been very sick with this sinus thing, but I wanted to tell you that two different things. A comment after I ask you a question, because I talked to somebody that I know from Lake County who is a Seventh-day Adventist, and I know you've gotten this same question before, and I don't want a lot of people to get tossed into this thing, even though we're not supposed to judge one another. I had looked up Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, where Paul had wrote the letter to the Colossians and saying, you know, that don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain days or the new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. So I looked up something in the Keyword Study Bible on page 2548, and it talked about the Shabbat. That was the Hebrew origin of the word Sabbath. And it is the same word that's in the Old Testament towards the beginning, and I forget what verse, same word, same meaning as in the New Testament where Paul talked about the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. So I told my friend that, and she said, no, Jesus even kept the Sabbath when he was here on earth, and so did Paul. I said, Paul was trying to get people to go to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, so he became all things to all men. I said, but he said not to let anyone condemn you for that. And she went on. I said that God's people couldn't even keep the Sabbath, the Israelites long ago. They couldn't even keep it. And that's why they got into so much trouble with God Almighty. And so anyway, she told me, she said, you're trying to get me to sin. You like sin. She said, do you murder? Do you do this? Do you do that? And went on with the Ten Commandments. And I said, they're all summed up in two things. Love your God, love your neighbor. That is the law that we're under because Jesus, I said, why do you think he died for our sins? And I said, don't you think we're all sinners? And she said, well, not a, we can keep the Ten Commandments. I said, no, we can't. I said, there's no way. And so she said, yes, we can keep the Ten Commandments. And she was in a rage. And I finally sidetracked her and told her, do you know what happened when I was a Jehovah's Witness for 10 years? I got kicked out. I said, but in the meantime, my best friend that was still in there, her son was into drugs and he wanted help. And he went to the elders. They couldn't help him. He kept doing speed. He was a wonderful young man before he got into that, and he wanted help. And they said, well, we can't help you. They didn't even refer him to anybody. He went home to their place and went in front of a tree, and I'm not going to say what he used, but you can almost imagine, put a blanket over his whole body, and then, boom, and out went his brains. And that's what he did to himself, and I cried and cried when I found out. I went to her house because the elders, Jehovah's Witnesses elders, said, oh, well, this one time we'll let you talk to her about religion because they don't normally do that, and they don't normally have a funeral service for anyone that's taken their life or anyone that's been expelled from their organization, as they call it. So I went over there, and she sat me down in her office, and she said, okay, listen to me, Estelle. This is what I did. I had a talk with the devil, and I told him, you'll never get me out of this organization. It's the truth. It's the one true religion, and you could take my whole family if you want, but I'm not leaving. I said, you talk to you know who about that and your son? She said, yes, I did. And she, her eyes were wide. She wasn't crying. And I finally tried to tell her about Jesus Christ. I got nowhere. And I finally told her goodbye and kind of bowed my way out of there and went home just really sick to my stomach and sad. So for my first question to you, now that you know something about the Watchtower, what happens with them if a person really needs help. They even told me when I got kicked out of there, you cannot talk to your mother for a year. You have to come to all the meetings for 1 year here.
Oh, it's all legal. Honey, it's all legalism. That's what they live on. It's not a relationship with Jesus. It's legalism. Look how good I am. Look how I keep the Ten Commandments. Man, I'm Captain Shiny Buttons. Man, look at me. Well, the Bible tells us, and you read the book of Galatians, it was the schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. You see, the Ten Commandments was never meant to justify a man. It was meant to show us how desperately we need a Savior. And when the Gentiles started getting saved in the book of Acts, the church fathers didn't put them under the Ten Commandments because nobody could keep the Ten Commandments. But yet today, they try to keep the Ten Commandments in some type of justification. If we could have been saved by keeping the Ten Commandments, we would have not have needed Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Well, yeah, you know, the best thing you can do for your friend is have her read the book of Galatians. It talks about we're not under the law, we're under grace. You can't be saved by the law. The other thing is the early church, of course, worshiped gathered together for their worship and celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which took place on Sunday. And so we find several passages where they worship on Sunday, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 2, 2 Corinthians 9, 12. We also know that as we gather together on Sundays, we're in fellowship. It's not, and we're in worship of God. We're gathering to learn the word of God. We're in fellowship, but in reality, we worship God 365 days a year. We've come into this Sabbath rest in Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 4. So she unfortunately doesn't want to look to the word of God, but don't give up on her. Keep cracking that door open, you know, keep your foot in that crack and just slowly but surely keep pushing it. as you share with her the word of God. You did well in sharing Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. Share scriptures like that. Romans chapter 14 has another thing about not having to deal with the Sabbath and so forth, not to judge one another in regards to the Sabbath. If people want to get together on Saturday, that's no problem. If they want to get together as a church on Sunday, that's no problem. If they work the whole weekend, they want to get together on a Monday, that's no problem. We worship God 365 days a year. So, Mike, I'll hand it back to you.
Yeah, and so I would just continue to reach out to her. Somebody said one time that it usually takes five or six times of really being confronted with the gospel before it breaks through and they realize that it's not by works of righteousness, lest any man would boast, but it's really what Jesus has done for us. And they claim to be such sticklers of the law. Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Yet in 2013, the Jehovah's Witnesses rewrote the New World Version with 10% less words in it, 10% less words in it than the previous edition. If we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, I guess they only have to live by 90% now versus a full 100%. This would cause great concern to me as they continue to rewrite the Bible to suit their own belief, but that's what they do. And again, I asked somebody one time who believed they kept the Sabbath, and of course they don't. They keep it according to their interpretation, which is not the Bible according to Levitical law. And they believe that this is what makes them something. And I asked a Sabbath keeper one time, I said, let me ask you, do I go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross and my faith is in him, or because I worship on Saturday? And he said, well, because Jesus died on the cross. And I said, then you've answered your own question. You see, it's unlawful, according to Levitical law, to make anybody else work on the Sabbath, yet they have their meetings in their buildings. They drive to their places of meeting. And I use this illustration so often, almost daily, but if they get in a wreck on the way to Sabbath meeting, they don't lay there in the street until sundown Saturday night and call the paramedics. No, they call them right then. And they use a verse way out of context where Jesus said, well, if your ox falls in a ditch, wouldn't you go get it out? Well, the thing is, I like what I heard one man say one time. He says, well, if your ox keeps falling in a ditch, get a new ox. Well, this is the problem. They have to drive to their place of worship. They do that. And by the way, I don't fault anybody for worshiping on Saturday, period. Or Tuesday. I don't know what your day of rest is. I think every Christian should take a day of rest. And if you're a paramedic, a police, fireman in the medical field, your day of rest might be a Tuesday or Wednesday. And thank God for you guys that work on the weekend to patch us all back up and help us look for another weekend. But the thing is that it's disingenuous because we're not saved by keeping the law. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have to die on the cross. But our Sabbath rest, the Bible says, is fulfilled in him. And so in him, we just rest. Esther Lee, I hope that answers it for you. Stay in line. I'll send you out a couple of DVDs, a couple of booklets that I think will help you. And perhaps you can even let her watch God of Wonders that might touch her heart in some way, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. I don't know if this is going to help or not. She's pretty well set in her ways on this whole
prayer,
thing.
Prayer. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded people's eyes that they don't see the great deal that Jesus Christ offers them, that it's by faith that we're saved, not by works of righteousness. And this is the great problem that they're into. And there's something about human nature and pride that says, look what I did. I kept the Sabbath. I didn't eat pork. I did this. I sold flowers in airports. I wore orange. I've never missed a service. All that is all really ego stroking, really, honestly, friends. And that's all it is, because the Bible says not one good thing dwells in the flesh. That means all our righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. There's only one thing that makes us righteous, and it isn't keeping the Sabbath or not eating pork or some other law in the Old Testament. What makes us righteous is that we put on, the Bible says, his righteousness, like you would take a coat and wrap it around you on a cold day. We put on his righteousness. There is no righteousness that mankind in himself can generate to meet the requirements of God's law, period. And so this is what the great problems are when we find people that turn to any other thing, a church, the commandments, a church's creed, anything, but to find your righteousness in him, nothing else works. Hope that helps. Stay in line, Esterly. We'll get you taken care of and get you fixed up. With that, we'll go to Taylor in Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Great. How may we help?
Hi. Well, I'm a born-again Christian, and I'm really enjoying reading the Bible. I'm just kind of confused because I have opinions everywhere saying that, you know, disregard the Old Testament. You need to start the New. But I'm kind of thinking, well, I want to read the whole thing to get, like, the whole story. But I just don't want to confuse myself. So I just kind of want to know, where should I start? Right now, I am halfway through Numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you're going to find as you read along, it's going to get a little heavier. I recommend everyone to start reading in the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in the New Testament, the Gospels. Start at chapter 3. Also, the book of Luke, the entire book of Luke is great because this is going to give you an understanding why we need it, that he is the Savior, and the Old Testament tells us why we needed a Savior. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a good recommendation. I always recommend people start with the Gospel according to John because it's known as a universal gospel. It speaks of the deity of Jesus Christ. It's got tremendous love within it throughout the chapter. Also, when you look at Luke's gospel, it is written by a doctor. It's very detailed, Dr. Luke, as he writes. And then many times I suggest after Luke, go right to the book of Acts, because Dr. Luke followed it up with the book of Acts, and that talks about the working of the Holy Spirit. Then from there, I'd go back to Matthew. Matthew is written to the Hebrew mindset, so you have a lot of prophecies that are laid out from the Old Testament into the gospel according to Matthew. And then you have Mark, of course, which was written to the Roman mind. And you'll find a word immediately there quite often because the Roman lifestyle was very fast-paced and it's a much shorter gospel. It just covers the life of Christ very quickly. But I always recommend people get to know their Lord and Savior Jesus from the gospels first. And then as you begin to study and learn the New Testament, you can then intersperse the Old Testament in your readings. You'll have the Torah, the first five books of Moses, and then you have the historical books, Joshua all the way through Samuel and Chronicles and so forth, Kings and Chronicles. Then you get to your poetical books, a little bit more history there, Esther, Nehemiah, and so forth, Ezra. And then you get to your poetical books, and then you get to the major and minor prophets. So it's a journey through the Old Testament. I highly recommend everyone study the Old Testament. Every preacher preached the Old Testament. But for a new Christian, I always recommend get familiar with your Lord in the Gospels first and the book of Acts, and I know that you'll be blessed. Mike?
Amen. And so I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you guys so much, and I've been listening every day, and God bless you for everything you do.
God is good, dear, and, yes. And I think one of the best things you can do is just listen to CSN because it's somebody said, we tell people out on the radio, but they said it's equivalent to going to Bible college, and we call it the wireless seminary. So we want to just encourage people, listen, you're going to get a pretty broad base understanding of who Jesus is, what the scripture's about. Taylor, stay in line. I'll send you out a couple of things that I think will really bless you, a little book called Time to Grow. I want to get that to you. So stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. And with that, we'll go to Sandy in Odessa, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how may we help?
Hi. Well, I wanted to ask prayer for my son. I'm sorry. Okay. For healing.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
He has a problem in his neck, and it's his excruciating pain. Constantly, and the doctors have kind of exhausted all the things that they can think of to to remedy his pain. And so far, the last procedure that they did this week, they said that was kind of the last resort. And so he is a Christian, and we've been praying for him, but I would just like to ask all of my Christian friends and contacts to pray that Jesus will heal his pain.
Have you took him to has the elders laid hand on him and anointed him with oil?
No, we talked about that, but I don't know if we can do that, if he will do that.
Well, that's what the Bible says to do, dear. In the book of James, it says, pray and call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and they'll recover. Now, sometimes God recovers us by taking us to heaven, but I've seen God do miraculous healings in our church. I know, Daryl, you have too. Mm-hmm. In fact, actually, honestly, both of us are living examples of the power of the healing touch of God. I had a massive heart attack on December 5th. It was called the Widowmaker. Only 14% of the people who get it live. And those that do live usually have such horrible heart damage that really their days are very short. And I had this Widowmaker, the whole left side of my heart, I had a blood clot created by COVID. The whole left side of my heart was completely shut down and it was dying. But I happened to have that in the waiting room of the hospital. And from the time I walked into the waiting room to the time I actually died was only 15 minutes, 16 minutes, something like that. And the doctor who put the stents in happened to be in the hospital, and they were able to put that in without any damage. People were praying. So no, it's God is a God of miracles. And I want to encourage you to do that. Now, when we come back from the break, Sandy, we want to pray for you and encourage you in him, because we serve a God who loves, still does miracles and heals. And so we'll talk more about that right after this. We'll be right back right after the break.
The Ministry of Preborn saves babies' lives and souls by meeting moms where they're at and introducing them to their preborn baby on ultrasound.
As soon as I saw that heartbeat, it was over. I cried the hottest tears I've ever cried, and I felt a fire in my belly and in my soul, and God touched me that day. He pierced my heart for my child, and I felt love.
Preborn is the number one competition to the abortion industry, providing free ultrasounds and ultrasound machines to Christian pregnancy centers nationwide. Because when an abortion-minded woman meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she is 80% more likely to choose life for her baby. To learn how you can rescue a baby's life, just go to csnradio.com and click on the preborn banner or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. All gifts are tax deductible.
CSN, the Christian Satellite Network, is broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including over 60 in California alone. You can listen in great cities like Bakersfield, Sacramento, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Yucca Valley, and many more stations throughout California and the nation. A full station list is available through csnradio.com. You're listening to CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
CSN International, bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship, or the latest congregational songs, you'll find it on CSN International.
We want to welcome you back to part two 2 of To Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And once again, want to remind everybody, if you're in the Southern Idaho area, Jeff Wickwire, who does the radio show with me on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, he's going to be at River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls. And we want to invite you to come 10 o'clock Sunday morning in person and 10:30 on the radio and on the internet, Mountain Time. And so we want to just encourage you to come out, visit with Pastor Jeff. I think you'll have a great time as well as listening to him on the radio. When we went to the break, we were speaking with Sandy about her son's neck and the pain that she has in it. And by the way, what I was going to tell you, Sandy, is I had a lot of people praying for me when I had my heart attack, and I know God heals, but I know that when it's kind of stubborn, I believe we want to do everything the Bible says. You know, somebody asked me one time, how much do you do and how much does God do? Well, in the Bible, we see sometimes where God did everything. I mean, Elijah, ravens brought food to him. Yet when it came to Noah worked on that ark for 100 years. So sometimes it's everything we can do. Sometimes God does it all. But I know this, once we've done everything the Bible says to do, then the rest is in God's hands. And I certainly would encourage you and your thoughts on this. And Daryl, maybe you would, and I'll agree with you in prayer for her son.
Sure. It's Sandy, right? Is that
yes.
Sandy, our hearts, number one, are with you. It is so tough to see, no matter the age of your child, in pain, and it's very difficult. But let's lift him to the Lord and ask God's healing hand to be upon him, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your healing touch that we see throughout the Gospels, Lord, and in the book of Acts. You do great and mighty works in people's lives. You've raised people from the dead. You've healed the deaf, the lame, the blind. You've cast out demons. You healed those with leprosy and other diseases, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord God, we pray your healing hand upon Sandy's son's neck. He's gone through these, I'm assuming, surgeries and different events, Lord, to try to heal his neck, Lord. And so, Lord, we pray that you would heal him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, to heal that neck, that spine, the ligaments and the bones, the vertebra, and all that's there, Lord Jesus. So we pray that you just do a great and mighty work in and through him. But most of all, Lord, may your peace be upon him, Lord Jesus. May you give him that spiritual strength and courage with what he has right now. And so, Lord God, may you watch over Sandy and give her the insight, then the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding for whatever else might be needful. And we just trust in you for this great work. As all the CSN listeners are praying right now, Lord, we just join in prayer to you, asking for your hand of healing to be upon him.
And yes, God.
We can just applaud this great miracle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Sandy.
Yes, our prayers are with you, dear, and look forward to seeing what God will do. But I would definitely get with a church that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit, that believes in the healing touch of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And have him anointed with oil and pray over him, because that's what the Bible says to do. Hope that helps.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
God bless you.
You know, I don't know how far you are from Fort Worth, but I know Jeff Wickwire, who does the radio show with me. I know he would, and his pastoral staff would love to pray over him. And so I just take God at his word, dear. God does great and mighty things. Sandy, stay in line. I'll send you out some things. And I would just encourage you to do what the book of James says to do. Stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Jim, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Mike. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
I had a little question. I was out talking with people the other day, and I'm a believer, but it hit me with a question, and I didn't have an answer to it. And you know how they have fossilized evidence of the flood throughout the mountaintops and everywhere? And just wondering if there was any fossilized human skeletons that you might know of.
Well, I don't know of any of that, but I do know that there are some really interesting things. I read about a man who was putting coal in his furnace, and this was back east. And as he's putting coal in, he dropped a chunk of coal on the floor, trying to put it in his coal burning furnace, and it broke open, and there was a little vase in there, and he couldn't figure out. So he took it, and they went and analyzed it, and it was a material composite that they were not real familiar with. And that would have had to gotten in there probably during the flood. Now, there's some other evidence as well. I personally believe the Sphinx in Egypt it was not made by the Egyptians. I believe they recarved it. If you look at the water damage on the Great Sphinx, the water damage on that Sphinx is up and down, not horizontal, the way sand would erode something, but there are vertical lines, straight up and down, indicating that it went through some kind of a great deluge. Now, if you look at the Sphinx body, it is very worn, vertical lines up and down, speaking of whatever it was that washed it down, but the head is much smaller. It is it's disproportional in regards to the rest of the Sphinx. It's also in enormously better condition than the rest of the Sphinx. The Egyptians didn't make the Sphinx. They simply remodeled it. And many people believe that this could have gone back before the flood, as well as the Great Pyramid. Not the smaller ones, but the Great Pyramid, which even today, from what people in construction say, it would still be a construction wonder to build that. Ancient man, we picture oftentimes as very primitive, you know, scratching their back with a nail through a club. not at all. I believe that they were extremely intelligent. I believe that the Sphinx, and the Bible also says that there were giants on the land in those days, in Genesis 6. I myself believe it was just probably, perhaps selective breeding, as Russia has tried many times to do. But the thing is, for people that might be 10, 14 foot tall, I don't know how big the giants were, it would certainly make building something of that magnitude a lot simpler. If you look up artifacts, I can't remember what article I was reading, but it was artifacts in coal that they had found these different things, and they have actually drilled down in the earth, well drillers, and they pulled up little porcelain dolls that were down 300, 200 feet below the surface. So I think there's evidence for it. As far as fossilized man, I don't know. Now, there might be a real reason for that, in that most of the fossilized things that we see are primarily things that were on the bottom, the large snails and fish, things like that were already there. Human beings, though, when dead, have a tendency to float. And in the floating, many people believe this is why there wasn't the fossilization of more human beings because of that period of time. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Dr. Dwayne Gish has a book out called Dinosaurs by Design. In that book, he talks about there's 270 flood legends throughout the world and through ancient cultures. They've written about it from China to Persia to Syria and other places besides it just being found in the Bible. So that would be a good book to read and to learn from. In fact, you should go to Answers in Genesis. And they, of course, have a lot of information on the flood. I know that they've been discovering, archaeologists are discovering underwater cities off the Mediterranean, as well as off of Australia. And it's believed these cities date back to the time of the flood. So there's a lot of discovery going on today, archaeologically speaking. as well as historical records are being found. And it's just Answers in Genesis is a great place. Creation Research Institute is another great place, as we have good creation scientists doing good studies in regards to the dating of dinosaur bones and so forth. How old are they actually? I know in the region of Utah and that area, they're finding all kinds of things down in Mexico in regards to dinosaurs. And even where they're discovering that there's actually blood in the marrow of the dinosaur bones, this makes no sense if they're millions upon millions of years old. In other words, they're just thousands of years old, going back to the flood. So it's great. We've got to get the word out. I think, Mike, you have a video that you show about evolution versus God, as well as God of Wonders. Those are two great videos we've shown in our church. And I encourage you to get those and to share them with friends. Mike?
Yeah, there's quite a bit. I think if you just do a little bit of a study, just you can Google it or something, vase found in lump of coal, you'll find all kinds of stuff that there's really no explanation for that. It had to be in there at the time the coal formed, and that coal could have very well been decomposed life. So there's quite a bit there. You can also look up iron pot found in coal. There's a lot of things there, but it's there's no really any other explanation for it. So I hope that helps, Jim.
Yes, it does. I appreciate everything that both of you guys put in there, and good stuff that I didn't know about, especially the fossilized the things in the coal. I'm a believer in Christ. I believe in all the thousand years, couple thousand year old Earth versus a million years.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to them saying, "Oh, this is 300 million," they do not know that. That is based upon a time continuum, which says all things are decaying at the rate that they currently know. But we know before the flood, there was probably a much different atmospheric condition. We know the barometer pressure had to be different. You look at the dinosaurs as an example, you find these giant animals with very small nose holes, very small throats. They would not have been able to get enough air to sustain an animal that big. And they know this. This is some of the anomalies they don't want to tell you about in evolution. But they realized something was different before the flood. And probably not only was the oxygen, nitrogen percentages different, but the barometric pressure was probably much different as well. Now, we know before the flood, man lived to be almost 1,000 years old. After the flood, it was diminishing greatly until about the time of King David, and then it was down about 70 years. And really, honestly, everyone, you can go beyond 70, but like somebody told me one time, you'll feel every bone in your body, every joint, you'll feel it. And so I think that you really, when we look at this, there was something that changed. Well, of course, the decay rate then would be different with a different barometric pressure, different oxygen, nitrogen composition. So, but they're saying, well, all things remain as they are. Well, they don't know that. And the Bible says the wells of the deep broke open first, then the skies came, the vapor canopy was ruptured around the earth, because the Bible says up to that time it had never rained. So a lot of things changed. And so I hope that shed some light on it. Jim, stay in line, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll really like God of Wonders, covers a lot of this. And so you stay in line, Jim, we'll get you taken care of. God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. With that, we'll go to Angie, New Jersey. Hi, welcome.
Hi, I was just trying to find a Bible verse about doing things in haste, because I'm having people talk to me about regretting getting the vaccine, and they don't even know why they did it.
Well, everybody, it's hype. You know, you listen to everybody, oh, this is the miracle cure. They don't know that. I am amazed. It went, it, one of the first things in medicine is time testing something. They gave a medicine to pregnant women in the early and mid 50s, and in Canada even into the early 60s, that caused horrible birth defects. We see commercials on TV every night. I don't care what you're watching. Have you eaten Ramataz? If you've eaten Ramataz in the last 2 years, you may be entitled for a great settlement. Yes, Ramataz has been known to cause blah, 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 and death. And so if you've experienced any of these things, I don't know how dead people call for this lawsuit. I've always wondered about that one. But the thing is that these are drugs that were not time tested. The vaccinations are not time tested. Absolutely, they are not. 40%. I watched a TV special out of Las Vegas. I've shared this a couple times. Out of Las Vegas, they said 40% of the first responders have not taken the COVID vaccination. When they ask one of them why, he says, hey, I went through med school. This is one of the first things you don't do is try out some new anything in the medical field until it's been time tested. Nobody knows if this is going to cause kidney failure in 5 years, blindness in 2 years. Maybe it won't do anything. Maybe it'll do a whole lot worse. We don't know. But I know one thing. They made the companies that make the vaccine immune to lawsuits. Yeah, that's right. Not even they are required to stand behind their product. Friends, this is scary stuff. And then you're getting vaccinated for a disease that mutates. That's right. The disease that's with us is not going to be the same one that's with us a year from now. Because, again, it's morphing, it's changing. And the head of one of the pharmaceuticals, the president said, this disease will be with humanity forever. Well, why is that? Because it was man-made to kill people. Yeah, the ideal communist, socialist, progressive idea, those that are a worthless mouth will be killed through this particular disease. What a perfect disease. If you're a worthless mouth to feed, you're aged or you're sick, they designed it just for you to kill you. Yeah, why in America here, we're trying to invent, you know, vaccines for smallpox and other things. People in countries like the communist country of China invents diseases to kill people. Kind of gives you a little bit of an idea where this wonderful communism, progressivist things are going to head in America. Well, Daryl, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, and this is why we don't know what's coming around the next bend. And it's best to know that you are saved in Jesus Christ. I mean, whether it be the COVID death or it be death by vaccine, we don't know. That's the unknowable right now. Hopefully it all works out great. But there's a lot of unanswered questions, and we have to just sit on that. But the main thing is, you could die of a heart attack. You could die of a brain aneurysm. You can die of cancer. You can die in a car crash. Do you know where you're going? And the only way to know that is by giving your heart to Jesus Christ. He died for us. He died for our sins. He rose from the grave to prove he had power over death, the devil, and sin itself. And that all who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So the main thing for all the listeners and everyone out there is, do you know where you're going when you die? Make sure you're going to heaven. And the only way to get there is through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Savior of our souls. He is the Messiah to the Jews. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He defeats Satan. He's defeated death, and he's defeated our slavery to sin. So give your heart to him. Let him save you. And God give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the days we live. Like a Daniel in Babylon or Nehemiah, Medo-Persia, whoever it might be. These are crazy days with a lot of evil. Jesus said pestilences will take place. We just need to know where we're headed, and that needs to be heaven through Jesus Christ. So, Mike, I hand it back to you.
Amen. Angie, I hope that helps.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if you could locate that scripture about doing things in haste, if there's actually a scripture verse in there.
Oh, yeah. Daryl,
you know what, I was
says to be anxious for nothing, and I can look that up real quick.
And that's in Philippians.
That's right.
In regards to prayer, be anxious, stop worrying about even one little thing is what it's saying with the word anxious. We're not to worry. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All things will be added unto us. We're to be patient in the Lord. There's many scriptures on patience. James 1:4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. I'm not sure where you might be, you know, haste makes waste, right? We have that expression. I'm not exactly sure what the passage you're thinking of when it.
I'd say Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing. Anxious means, ready, shoot, aim, you know, kind of thing. You're better off to not be anxious and let things play out. Give God time to work things out. I think a lot of times, even in our prayers, we pray, we ask God to do something, and we get impatient, you know. And I've actually had people come up to me and say, well, I've been a Christian now for a month, and I got some things that aren't going right. Does God not love me? And I go, well, wait a minute. Let me ask you something. How long did you live before you became a Christian? Well, 41 years. And you've given God a month to straighten out 41 years of reckless living. Yes, you're instantly saved. You're going to heaven. You don't have to worry about that. But there's baggage that we create in our lives, and this is why the Bible tells us not to sin, that we want to let God work those things out of us. And I believe that's really an important part of our Christianity, is give God time to work things out. But again, be anxious for nothing is something that I found in my life is a very, very good verse, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I hope that helps.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It sure does. I thank you guys. I thank the Lord first, and I'm trusting the Lord. I'm not worried about any vaccine. I'm not worried about COVID. For to live is Christ and to die is gain. Hey, praise God.
Yeah, another verse for you is Proverbs 19:2, and it just talks about he who hurries his footsteps errors. So hope that helps. Let's go to Kyle, White House, Ohio. Hi, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. God bless you, and God bless everybody at CSN for the program and for this forum. You guys have literally been a godsend to me in the past year that I've found CSN through my local radio station, and I've really use you guys for a lot of things to not only try to get my life straightened out, but also then several years ago, God tried to basically send me a message through a Bible verse, Ezekiel 33:6, that he wanted me to try to help others, to try to warn others. And as part of that, one of the big questions that I keep getting from people, and I can't find anything in the Bible anywhere. I don't know whether I'm looking in the wrong place or I'm trying to look too literal, but in today's world, we're hearing about how government is trying to come after people and take away our religious exemptions from wearing masks, from getting vaccines, et cetera. So my question is, what can we do as Christians to basically utilize that religious exemption while we still have it?
Well, I think we have to. We're almost out of time here. We got a minute and a half, and I want, Daryl, you to comment on this. I think we need to work for the night is coming. I really believe that. I'm really surprised that the ADA, Americans Disability Act, hasn't thrown a fit over everyone having to wear masks. If you're deaf, you're relying upon reading people's lips because you can't hear. And the mask laws deliberately discriminate against those with that particular handicap. Why people that are deaf aren't up in arms, I don't know, because it definitely stops them from being able to communicate. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Well, I think the main thing is we have to maintain our First Amendment, and that takes Christians to run for office, whether it be city councils, whether it be a mayorship, whether it be a governor, a representative, a senator. We need more Christians in office to maintain our First Amendment, along with conservatives. and everybody needs to vote. Vote conservative no matter what to keep our values and keep our freedoms. That's the only way we can do it. Mike?
Yeah, we're going to have to. We have to realize what's going on. It's the way we vote and what these people stand for. And again, you have Joe Biden now saying that he wants to change the Supreme Court from nine Supreme Court justices to who knows how many. Anything that they can do to overthrow America, that's what they're all about, because that's what they want to do. And so we got a lot of praying to do in these days. Listen, for everybody that didn't get on today, Sherry, Tony, Sue, Mike, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Daryl, thanks for being
Thank
on.
You, and God bless.
It's a blessing to be with you. Look forward to being back with you. Till then, God bless
to
you.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Everyman and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Everyman and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Everyman and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.